There we go. What do we think of that, Stuart?
That's great, isn't it? Very Motown, I love it.
Yeah, very funky. Now, I am joined in the studio by comedian, by radio presenter, who does a fantastic show here on Drive Time. It is Mr. Stuart Pink.
Hello, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me on. This is amazing.
And it's good to be in the studio on that side of the desk.
I know. It's just like old times, like Friday afternoons.
Besides being a comedian, you also write.
I do. Yeah.
Poetry book that you did as well. You came in and you chatted about that, and that did really well, pandemic poetry.
Yes, the last time I came on, you were still first to snap that one up in its infancy.
So this book here...
It's a short story, but it's the first time I'm doing something that's not trying to be funny. I'm like not serious, but like not trying to make people laugh.
Where did you suddenly get this idea to do this story?
Well, I did a creative writing course about... 2 years ago, and one of the things we talked about is when you get writer's block and you want to write something but you're not really sure what, or you go through a bit of a dark patch where you're like, I've not got any inspiration, I don't know what to write about. You either have a great idea and you try and craft that into something, or you have no idea. So it's tempting then to just leave writing alone and not do any of it, then you get all rusty and then you just get worse. So every now and again I like to put a few little titles down and then stick them in a jar and then go, okay, I'm going to now write, give myself a set of parameters, however many words, start it in this particular style. So I pulled out this this title, Under the Clock, which I'd thought of before. I thought, okay, I'm going to write myself a story, and that's the title. And then from there, I decided to give myself the challenge of using as few words and extra bits as possible as an editing challenge. Because when you read a book, it's half boring when you get about five chapters in and you go, what's happening now?
Yeah,
who's this randomer? Why are we describing the bathroom? This has got nothing to do with it. Oh, it's a lovely beach, but nobody cares. And all that. So I thought, I'm going to edit it. I'm going to do this story. So I actually wrote it. And I thought it's going to be, I can't remember the number of words I set myself now. But I basically got through the first opening scene and filled up all them words. I thought, okay. So essentially the book was way bigger. And I edited it down gradually to a really short story. But I feel... I wanted to keep it punchy and so people don't get bored reading it.
Now, it is called, as you said, Under the Clock. It's a short but powerful story of love in the time of war, set in the peaceful Cornish town of...
Lostwithiel.
There we go.
I think.
Is this actually a real place?
There's a fair amount of research gone into it. Yes, it's a real place. It really has a train station, I believe. And it was quite a key place in terms of evacuees going there from London.
Yeah.
And they would take a lot of children in. That's always fascinated me, that time of war, of having to just leave your parents and go and stay in some random Cornish town and live a whole new life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why the town's in there. I'd love to go. I've never been.
And it's called Lostwithiel,
yes. That's what
is that, yeah.
Got a nice little ring in the title.
So are we allowed to read an excerpt, or would you like to read the excerpt if I pass that over to you?
I can if you like, yeah. If you
is that
picked
okay,
out
or is
bit.
That too, that's your, this is from Amazon.
Oh, look at that.
Is that all right?
Yes.
Because, you know, you can read it out in the way that, if I do it, I'll mess it up.
You probably do it better than I will. Okay, so this is an excerpt then from, I can't remember which bit, but this is your book. It's from Under the Clock. I feel nervous now. I have to put my Stephen Fry voice on. As we exchanged words, glances, smiles and laughs, we shared more than just a conversation. And the passing of time, it was as though our lives mirrored each other's and that we had been brought to this same place by some greater design. The worry and fear of the war that awaited me fell silent in her gaze, and every chime of the clock marked the passing gift of more time than I ever thought we'd have. But as our time together ended, and in a moment of foolishness that will stay with me forever, I made a promise that I knew I'd fail to keep. When the war is over, meet me here, under the clock.
Ooh. See, and you're right, you've created in that, just in that episode, it's like that you've got the whole kind of story. You can what it's doing is it draws you in to want to find out more. So it's very clever.
Thank you.
And is that how the book actually starts? Is that like the opening section of the book?
No, it actually starts with a dialogue because it's quite rare to read a book that starts with two people talking, and I'm usually terrible at writing natural conversation. I'm talking to people all the time, but I'm trying to write it down and make it sound natural is difficult. So that was part of the challenge I set myself at the beginning,
yeah.
to start it in a dialogue between two characters. So it starts slightly differently, but that's the kind of the main sort of setup to the end of the first little segment.
Mm.
To kind of tee up these two people that have met, and they know they're going to have to spend a long time apart from each other because one's going off to serve war service, and they're going to meet again when it's over.
Do you think being a comedian can help you write in? I was going to say, because the flip side of being a comedian, and you know from lots of comedians out there that you probably know, the flip side of being funny on stage is sometimes when you're off stage, life isn't as funny, and a lot of comedians can be quite depressive and completely different. So, do you think being a comedian can give you the flip side of being able to write something really quite dark and sad?
I really think so, yeah. Yeah, you definitely meet a lot of people who you see on stage doing their thing, and then backstage they are very different.
Yeah.
I feel I'm quite kind of the same all the way around, but there is definitely a side where you can sort of flip the lid open a bit, and this is quite a scary thing to put out there because it kind of lays bare a lot of thoughts you have, and I guess that you're always writing a little way from a bit of experience and stuff you feel. There is definitely that element to it. I think you have an understanding of emotions when you do comedy that's not necessarily communicated, because you know how to make people laugh and you kind of understand the body language and the way people feel more than you would think. So to write from the other perspective, there's loads of great comedians who do horror films or romantic stuff and emotional things, so it's exciting to unleash a little bit of something different, but
now,
very scary.
People can get this from Amazon.
Yes, they can.
And is there any physical copies, or is it just going to be online for now?
At the moment, it's just this short story available on Amazon Kindle. But I'm hoping, if it goes well, then I might be able to release a collection of short stories.
Yes.
Because there are a few others in the works. Various different short stories, same idea. Taking a title and turning it into something. Maybe I can publish in paperback copy. Definitely. I've got loads of things. This phone is just filled with notes and ideas, and I do big... All these characters I've got developed in my head and all these great plots, and I know they'll probably never come to anything because it's just such a massive task to create a whole world. But sometimes if you just sit down and you go, I'm going to write a story now about this, and sometimes I think giving yourself a bunch of restrictions and trying to say, okay, it's got to be this, it's got to have this in it, and you add all these bits in, you can... actually be a bit more creative than you would think, because then you're trying to weave all these things into a story and it takes you somewhere different. So definitely just write it. It doesn't have to be amazing. You can edit it later and share it with people anyway, and then put it out there, and then you're published.
Yes, what a great thing. And then one day you'll be able to go into a bookshop and stand by your own book. I'd love to do that.
Yes, wouldn't that be so nice?
With a picture of yourself. You know, when you're just standing there, there's like a picture of you on the front of the book, and you're just hoping that somebody's going to go, is that you, your book? You go, yeah, it's me. That's me.
I love when you go to those sort of events and there's like authors there. I went to one, there was a woman who'd written a cooking book, and she was stood there waiting for people to come and have her book signed, and she was totally putting on exactly the same face as she was on the book. I was like, change your pose, this looks embarrassing.
Yeah, it's called Under the Clock. It is out now. You can go onto Amazon. I got a copy this morning, really easy. Go and click on Stuart Pink and you can find all the details there, and we will put all the details up on the website. How long would you say would it take you to read?
I don't know, about 45 minutes.
There you go.
Half hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Not long at all. Just enough to sort of unwind before bed.
Yeah.
And today will be a very good day to read it, of course, on Remembrance Day.
Yes.
Remembering war and love in that setting.